Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Welcome. Good afternoon. Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 11th day of June, 2019. And I am so thrilled to have back on the program Pete and Kelly Orta. Many of you who used to, or perhaps still do, love the genre of Christian rock. Well, you may recognize the name Pete Orta because he was the lead guitarist of the renowned Christian rock group and Gospel Hall of Fame inductees, Petra, from 1996 to 2000. And his wife, Kelly Orta, who has been on this program with Pete once before, will be joining us again. They're going to be continuing a discussion we began a while back. This will be part two of Apologetics in Your Own Home. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you both back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pete and Kelly Orta.
Hey!
Thank you.
It's great to have you guys back. And I think for just the sake of those people who might be in a tiny minority, Pete, who have never heard of Petra, they perhaps never listened to Christian rock. They have no idea of the significance of that band in the music genre, especially within the Christian music genre. But tell us something about Petra.
Well, that crowd is growing more and more the older I get. I'll tell you that. I usually, if you get a young fan, they're like, "You used to play with Petra? That was my grandparents' favorite band." Yeah. Man, Petra started in 1972. I was born in 1971. So, you know, it was, you know, I was able to just build my body of work upon that foundation that was set before. And I think Petra was probably the first Christian rock band to sing about the Bible, and I would say very much so that they stuck pretty close to scripture and stories and things like that. So that in my time it didn't exist. There were very few successful Christian artists at the time that just wanted to give young people an alternative to not feel like they were missing out on the modern days of how to communicate. It's funny that there's still people in our network still that, you know, are just think the organ is the only holy instrument God has ever created, and a choir and an electric guitar is not. I can't help them there, but it's just the way that music has grown, the way that it's evolved, and the way that it's communicating to the world today. And it would be like someone being offended that, you know, we've adopted the new iPhones that have come out and we're still not on T9 flip phones. It's like, well, communication has changed, and music genre is a form of communicating, and I like that Petra did that, but at the same time didn't make the lyrics relevant to their time. They kept them biblical.
Yeah, one of the things that I remember as a young Christian going to a Petra concert, I was glad that the group, unlike some other so-called Christian bands, were not running around in effeminate-looking clothing and spandex bodysuits and things like that. They did typically, you know, have perhaps longer hair than a lot of perhaps more senior citizen saints would approve of, but they didn't look like they were what's the word I'm looking for? Unisex? Transgender? I don't know. they looked like men, you know. I mean, and but I believe when I saw the group, that was before you were actually a part of the group, because yes, I was a single Christian man, and you joined the group in 1996. I was already married a year. I was already married 5 years by that time. So I saw Petra before you were part of the group. I have a funny story connected with that. I'm not going to say anybody's name, but I had been dating off and on a girl, Christian girl, and I had bought tickets for us to see Petra, and I bought them months in advance, and she called me up like a week before the concert, and she said, "You know, Chris, I just want to let you know about something. I started seeing somebody, and it's developed into a very serious relationship. And in fact, we may be heading for marriage. And so I just wanted to let you know about that. But my question is to you, can I still go to Petra with you?"
That's awesome.
And this was with the approval of her boyfriend. I don't think he was 100% comfortable with it. But anyway, I just had to bring that up.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, man, I remember I used to know Robert Sweet back in the day, the drummer for Stryper. And, you know, I told him, I said, "Man, you're prettier than any girlfriend I've had to date." Yeah.
One of the things that you and I agree upon, even though we might have some differences about what music should be in a worship service, there may be some differences, but we agree upon...
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not.
Well, I know that we agree upon the fact that worship music primarily should be congregationally sung, yeah, and participated in, whereas much of music in the church today... even outside of the realm of what would be called Christian rock, it could be any kind of music. It could be even just a praise and worship kind of music that even older folks might appreciate. But very often it is a show that's being put on in the church. It's not really a worship service. It's a performance. It's an entertainment portion of the service where people just watch and listen and sway back and forth with their hands raised, and they don't, you know, really get involved in much else other than perhaps singing along a very famous or well-known chorus of a song. But would you agree with me that you are on the same page as that we need to be more focused on corporate worship, congregational worship, than having a band entertain us?
Well, I will agree, because... I think that it needs to be singable for the average person, and I think that it should be biblical, a Christ-centered message within that song instead of man-centered, and those are tough to find. So, you know, I don't believe that the guitar should be screaming. I think you can mix it and kind of have it be like a little bed track. You know, it's something that, you know, you don't want an instrument drawing attention like a lady with a big hat in sitting in front of you in church. You want it to just all blend in and be nice. I said, but let me defend, because I am a musician, and I'll give one for the musical team that rarely gets to pipe in on this, no pun intended. A preacher can work on, and I've heard Alex Urbeg, I've heard a lot of good pastors, solid pastors talk about, even Sproul, not putting somebody to sleep, working on your delivery, working on just the performance side and putting a sermon together and making sure you've got a good intro. You're weaving that through, you know, in an expository manner through Scripture. And they put in the tools that they need for their craft, but yet when they get there, it's all about Christ. The flock is getting fed. You can do that on your podcast. I do it on my podcast. We use the best mics we can. We listen when areas of pockets where we listen. We pull back. I mean, there's a skill. That's why guys have to go to seminary and practice in front of elders and their preaching style and develop their own voice. But when a singer does it, it's performing in an unbiblical manner. That's the only place where I would just get people to open up the perspective that it does happen. They do get a bad rap if they bring their very best. It's a performance now. So I would just say that if you are got some killer pipes and you are singing and you are leading and you've got not to just do it tastefully. If you're going to do a lick, do it where it's tasteful. Don't do it all of the time. Make sure that your lead lines as a guitar player is tasteful. It fits the context of the song, the music. It doesn't distract. That's good music. And so, yes, I think there's a lot of performing out there. I can name a lot of bands that are not doing it right. I think most people want to show up even when they don't have a good biblical pastor. They'll say, but I love our worship. I believe too much is put around that. I believe it's creating emotional moments that is called the Holy Spirit. All of that is just horrible. But give the man or the woman a break who is showing up doing their craft extremely well. That's all I would say.
Amen. And it was kind of, I happened to chuckle to myself when you said, you used the phrase, some guys get a bad rap. Well, there are many Christians who think all rap is bad. But anyway, I happen to actually, believe it or not, I do enjoy well-done Christian rap. I have fundamentalist friends who think it's all straight from hell, but I don't know how you could really make the case for that if you boil it down to its essence. It's just rhyming. It's poetry. And what makes it good or bad are the lyrical content and also the persona or the imagery provided when this is being performed. Like, for instance, I've told people many times that if God bothered to include among the things that he most hates a haughty look, well, many rap artists, hip-hop artists, are a haughty look on steroids. And the whole persona is arrogance, pride. And when I hate it when I see, on occasion, Christian hip-hop artists, rappers, imitate that look with the very thick gold chains and the whole arrogant attitude and posturing, even if you're singing things that you think are in adoration to God, you shouldn't be acting that way. But even though I do like very much some well-done Christian rap, there are some theologically reformed Christian rappers out there, I do not believe it has a place in a worship service for the same reasons I gave earlier. I believe that a worship service is supposed to be a congregational event. But that's what my conviction is, and I just want people to know that I am just not a I'm not just a stick in the mud, and I don't have Pharisaic ideas or prohibitions against things that the Bible doesn't prohibit. I even enjoy a lot of secular music as long as it is not dishonoring to God, doesn't have lyrics that are filthy or blasphemous or so on. And so there's my 2 cents for that. Maybe I put more than 2 cents in, but
no, I think we see eye to eye, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I really do. I think some of it is cultural. Being a minority, I know that the, for instance, the Spanish culture, they do a lot of Christian rap as well, or reggaeton or anything like that. You know, our our culture is very expressive. We're very animated. We come from some pretty hard, tough backgrounds, and a lot of times, you know, what rap does compared to just normal pop music is rap is storytelling about where people have come from. So it could have a look of tough. It could have a look of this and that, but I think it's just in context. I think it's more of like, are you expressing? I know when I'm preaching, my wife is white, I'm Spanish. I know when I'm preaching, her culture of people look at it as like, is he angry? And my culture is like, yes, he's passionate. So I think there's just a lot of disconnect, too, in the reform circles on what other, how other ethnic groups worship the Lord as well. I don't think I've ever heard that talked about, but I'm not getting into social justice or anything like that. But we are a different group of people, and I know Black Americans are different than Hispanics where I come from, and so I think if you're just lyrics are biblical, you keep your heart in check, and you're doing it to the glory of God, I think it can be some good stuff out there.
Yes, I love. Well done black gospel music. I love the enthusiasm and joy that's often poured into it.
I know.
And
love how just compassionate or passionate they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my people as well. So.
And of course, we'll probably get emails and phone calls that this what you're saying in and of itself is racist.
Is it? Oh, well.
Well, you know that everybody will find a reason to complain about something. And obviously, I'm assuming when you say things like they are a passionate people and so on, you're basically saying that culturally that is very often the case, but there are black folks who are just as nerdy and dull as white folks.
Yeah, but just culturally, if you jump into a white church, you jump into a Spanish church, you know, the black churches are, man, they're just very animated, they're very passionate. Latin churches, we look more angry. I mean, when you go to, I remember going to Greece and being told by somebody that we were visiting, like, you're going to find people that look like they're about to get into a fight on the side of the street. They're not. They're using their hands and they talk aggressively. Because that's how they are here, and it's just awesome to have so many different people in the spectrum of humanity. And I think that we should allow liberties and not call everything, you know, unholy or ungodly or charismatic in a doctrinal sense.
Amen. By the way, I want to give our listeners our email address in case they want to join us on the air with a question of your own. It is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal or private matter. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And let's see. We already have this is not the theme, by the way. We are going to be discussing apologetics in the home, but I think judging from your or knowing of I should say your background, this is an appropriate question. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who says, "It grieves me that there are churches who very quickly will split and have infighting and even wars amongst themselves over music that is performed in a church service. And I understand that sometimes a parting of ways is necessary, but I don't think it always has to be. One of the most troubling aspects about this is that nobody in our day and age seems to really care much at all about what the senior saints think about the music that is being played. They don't care if the senior saints are being alienated. And I was wondering what your guest's opinion on this is."
Man, I can see both sides. I really can. I think that we fall into error when we make a preference a doctrine. And I think that's when we start getting, you know, split up. I think that we don't need to be, you know, so top 40. I believe that, you know, to have a singable song that a congregation can sing, can sing along with, it's not formatted like a top 40 song. It's not in the same key. It's lower than a top 40 song. It doesn't have the same production. So I think that, you know, if it's getting just too crazy, then it's probably bleeding over to just a performance. Sometimes, you know, the volume has to, you know, the older folks are having a hard time with maybe the volume of things. But I think that, you know, most of all, a lot of those old songs are doctrinally sound, and I love those songs, and I think that you should have a mixture of the hymns that they remember, and then, you know, a few of the new ones that people are writing that are really done well. I think that but most of the time, I believe, if I could speak on it, not knowing every church split out there that's happened, but it's wanting to keep the good old days present when communication is changing. And I think we have to separate how we communicate versus not making the Bible relevant and not making music, you know, not changing the lyrics and how we should sing to worship the Lord. But at the same time, you know, just delivering something that, I mean, we all work on laptops. I'm using a cell phone right now. We're all using social media to get the gospel out and move that forward and be a part of the Great Commission in different ways. But yet, people make their preferences of how they grew up and how they've always seen it a doctrine. And I think that's wrong, too. I think we should be flexible and not allow those little things to remove us from our church family.
Amen. I agree. And, of course, I think that all people, young and old, have a certain realm of music that they both can appreciate. I don't think that young people need to impose very loud, deafening music upon the senior saints, because there is no doubt something within their genre of music that they enjoy that would appeal, or at least, at the very least, be more tolerable to the much older saints in the congregation. And even some of the most raucous hard rock groups have ballads and things that young people enjoy hearing and singing along with and so on. So, I mean, that's proof that they can tolerate and even enjoy more tranquil music. And I think there's actually something wrong with anybody that doesn't have some kind of joy singing the classic hymns that are perhaps sung traditionally to classical music and so on. Why that would get you in such an uproar just because you can't bang your head to it? I don't know. I mean, I think it was Michael Horton who, you know, said that the great hymns that are lasting hymns throughout the centuries have been written by men and women who were saturated in the scriptures, who really knew the scriptures. Very often they were pastors who wrote these hymns. Very often they were theologians. And unfortunately, in our modern day, as you even attested to, you have some Christian groups having their lyrics driven by marketing executives that might not even be saved. And just to let our listeners know, if you want to hear a fascinating interview that I conducted with Pete Orta a number of months ago, just go to the archive of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio where it says Past Shows Podcast. If you type in Orta, O-R-T-A, you will hear his previous interview and the previous interview we conducted with both he and his wife. But Pete was not a born-again believer when he was performing not only with Petra, but even when he went into a quote-quote Christian solo career with a first album, the debut album being titled Born Again. Pete admits now that he was not born again when that was recorded, or in all of his his professional music career with Petra or as a solo Christian artist. So just thought I'd let you know that would be a fascinating interview for all of you to listen to.
I do agree with what you said about, you know, you can find a happy medium because yes. It takes talent to actually strike the multitudes. For instance, you know, you've got certain, you know, independent films that you might go see or something that's just a drama or something that's heavy in action or a superhero movie or things like this. And then you get the blockbusters. You know, you get the movies that are just the timeless ones that hit. It takes talent to do that, and I think it takes some talent to go, you know what, music is like that. The classics, the ones that hang around, hit the multitude, and I think you can bring that style in that will hit everybody. Everybody can go, that's good music. Those are good lyrics. And I think you can agree on that. There is that mm-hmm. genre of music that's pop, popular. The majority sees the gifting in it.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to our first break right now, and when we return, we'll jump right into part two of our topic that we began a number of months ago on apologetics in your own home. And if you have a question on that issue, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And what do you know, my computer shut down while we were talking, so I've got... I love live radio. Got to reboot this computer. while I'm rebooting this computer, I would like you, Kelly, since we've been hearing a lot from Pete right now, I want to hear from you when in your life as a Christian did apologetics specifically become something of great interest and passion to you? And I know that some people might think that I'm a misogynist by saying this, but I am saying this because I've heard some Christian women say this. Some Christian women that I have met and that I know have said things like, that's man stuff. Yeah, I love the Word of God. I love to worship God. But this deep delving into the Word of God on deep, mysterious theological matters, that's more for men. But thankfully, even though that is a group of women that certainly do exist, there are more and more ladies who are loving apologetics, and they are doing so without overstepping any kind of biblical bounds, without leaping out of a complementarian understanding of Christian theology and apologetics and church order and so on. So if you could, why don't you let us know how this became a passion of yours?
Well, I would say probably it was when we started our ministry in Triumph, when we started taking in the young men. And I wouldn't even necessarily say it was like an extreme passion for me at that point. It was more about, again, me wanting to make sure that I understood what I believed and why I believed it, because growing up in a charismatic church, that was just never, it was never mentioned, it was never taught. I just believed whatever was being taught from the pulpit without really questioning and asking for myself. And so I would say it was at that point, and just really just started studying and learning. And I'm not one of those that would say that it should be the men. I do believe that we all need to understand our faith and be able to defend it, and especially women to be able to do that along with their husbands for their children. I'm not much of a debater. It's just not my personality type to get in debates and stuff like that. I do shy away from that, but I do think apologetics is extremely important, because somebody can know, you know, all kinds of information, but if we don't know how to at least be able to explain it, you know, to someone, then it, I mean, it puts us in a bad position, you know, to walk away feeling like we didn't do enough or that we kind of messed it up when we had an opportunity to possibly steer somebody to Christ and give them a better understanding. If that answers your question.
Yes, and of course, there is a biblical command that older teach the older women teach the younger. So, how is an older woman going to appropriately teach a younger woman without having any idea of what the meaning of Scripture is? It doesn't mean that every woman or man needs to learn the original languages of Scripture or anything like that. But we'll get more into this discussion on apologetics in the home after we come back from our first station break. And once again, if you want to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pete and Kelly Orta after these messages from our sponsors. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hey, this is Pete Orta, former guitar player for the Grammy Award-winning Christian rock band, Petra. I'd like to invite you to my new podcast called Christian Conversations Unfiltered. This channel is much different than my sermon podcast. The episodes are intimate conversations with people who I enjoy about topics that I can't really unbox from the pulpit. Each episode is unproduced, unedited, and unapologetic. Conversations that might not only help you answer some relevant questions you might be struggling with, but also help create some questions in your head that you might not have even ever thought of. The purpose of this podcast is to help people apply their theology while broadening their biblical worldview. So go to PeteOrta.com, that's PeteOrta.com, and click subscribe to podcasts, and then choose what podcast you'd like to hear, if not both, and what platform works best for you. Can't wait for you to join us. God bless.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, the man behind the voice that you just heard in that ad, and his wife, Pete and Kelly Orta, are our guests today. and they are discussing part two of a theme that we began a number of months ago, apologetics in your own home. And if you'd like to join us with a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. If you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And if you could, before we go into any audience questions or even further into our discussion on apologetics in your own home, Pete, why don't you tell our listeners more about the podcast that we just advertised?
Well, I've got a couple of podcasts. I've got a sermon podcast that most pastors have, and I release that every Sunday. And also, man, I've had the privilege of having some amazing conversations in my life. I have been blessed with curiosity. I'm very inquisitive, and I've always said that if I sat down with Michael Jordan at a dinner, I would pull more from him than the average person, just because I just like questions and I like to know why and what makes people tick. And I've had such amazing conversations throughout just my life, just being so curious with people. And I'm very aware and want to know the dynamics of how somebody, you know, got to their place in life, that I just decided to start recording these because they've benefited me so much. They've stressed my worldview. They have challenged my Christianity. Iron sharpens iron. And I don't know how much of that is happening on a day-to-day with most people. So conversations are to show that there is there's just a whole other perspective out there sometimes.
So, in other words, you are also interviewing people that are not believers just to pick their brain and perhaps be used as a vessel by the Lord to lead them to Christ.
Man, I have interviewed non-believers, a neuroscientist who's not claiming Christianity. I've interviewed people from all different denominations as well, from charismatic to Baptist, Reformed, and, I mean, you name it. I will have a conversation with anyone just about if the if there's something to say or to kind of break apart.
Yeah,
my
friend Jeff Durbin, I don't know if you're familiar with Jeff, pastor of Apologia Church alongside James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Jeff Durbin has a program where he has not only interviewed Christians, but he's also interviewed people like Ben Stein and others who are not in the Christian faith but have something of importance to say. So I always appreciate hearing things like that when they are done appropriately. So how can our listeners find this podcast, or actually all of your podcasts?
My website, peteorta.com, peteorta.com, and, you know, that'll, and if anybody's local, it'll lead you to our church, it'll lead you to the different podcasts and some other things here and there.
By the way, I misspoke. I know that, although I'm sure that Jeff Durbin would love to interview Ben Stein, what I meant to say is Ben Shapiro. But Ben Stein is actually a pretty fascinating guy. He actually directed and produced that documentary called Expelled. I don't know if you ever saw that, but talking about basically...
No, I have not.
Oh, it's a fascinating documentary on the horrors that are going on under the name of education in the modern education system. Came out, I don't know, maybe a decade ago. But Ben Stein is not a Christian, but he seems to have a lot of affinity with at least the moral and social ideas of, or principles, I should say, of Christians. And in fact, R.C. Sproul interviewed him years ago. And he, at one time, was a speechwriter for President Nixon. You would recognize him probably most quickly from his hilarious TV commercials that perhaps aren't on so much anymore. But he did the the ad for the Clear Eyes, a very droning, boring voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I remember him.
Oh, but a lot of people who watch those commercials probably have no idea that they're listening to a brilliant conservative thinker. But let me go now to, we have a listener in Cork, Ireland. Mary in Cork, Ireland says, "Hi, Chris, Pete, and Kelly. I studied a module on apologetics in Munster Bible College under Dr. Ted Cable, and we looked at Kochel's approach," that's Greg Kochel, "we looked at Kochel's approach to his book, Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. Kochel says something to this effect. Apparently, when witnessing, some Christians feel they have to close the sale as soon as they can due to possible time pressure when sharing the gospel. If the person does not respond well, at least you have done your part and then just move on. Kochel argues that most of the time, the non-believer is not ready and needs something to make him think, or more or less, make him uncomfortable, leading to asking himself questions about what he really believes and what is the truth. He refers to this as putting a stone or pebble in one's shoe. I know there are God-ordained moments when the fruit is ripe and ready to be picked, but generally it takes a few times to hear the truth of the gospel. What are your thoughts?"
Well, I would agree on one thing that, well, probably on several, but I agree that we can't control the outcome and we don't know. And there's nothing that we can do to change somebody's mind. But that's spoken kind of in a way where people, you don't want to assume that that's the first time they've ever heard the gospel. I mean, we don't know if it's going to be the actual gospel presentation that is going to bring a conversion. I mean, we don't know that. So as far as like closing the sale, you know, kind of talk like that, I think that it just depends on how the Holy Spirit is set up the encounter. I know that when I'm out there witnessing, if I'm out there doing street witnessing, I'm probably never going to see that person again, and I'm going to be a lot sharper and a lot more pointed, and I am going to ask very, very tough questions. I deal with people that are non-believers all the time. On the other side, where I'm seeing them week after week, the approach is different. You know, I do have some time somewhat. I know somebody can say, well, you don't know that, you know, they could die tomorrow. That's true for anybody. But for the most part, if I'm in relationship with you, there's a slower approach. If it's just one at a time, you're going to drink out of a fire hydrant.
So. Kelly, any thoughts on your part when you're having conversations with especially the lost, how you might approach something like this? And I think that Pete has already said or made an excellent point that the situation and circumstance and the person may dictate your approach. Obviously, the Bible or the biblical truth is always the same, but the manner in which you share that might be different. As Pete said, you might be on a bus with somebody and you might never see them again. But anyway, if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with him. I think that we do have to look at the situation as far as just how, you know, how we've met them. And for me personally, I am not around as many non-believers as Pete is because of being in the home more, and pretty much I'm at home in church kind of thing. And if I'm out, it's usually with friends that are in the church and their children are in the church. And so, but I do have friendships that I've had for years, just even from high school. And even with them, it's been a thing where it's a slow deal where I don't hesitate to talk about the Lord with them. I talk about what he's done in my life and how things are going. I'm not real pushy about it because I want to be considerate, but yet I want them to hear, you know, how I am a different person than who I was, and I want them to see it as well. And so But I am cautious because I want to keep making sure that they that I'm not turning them off, if that makes sense. And
yes.
Again, I know that the Holy Spirit is the one who's in complete control of that, that I can't do anything to mess it up. But I still feel like, you know, I want to use wisdom when I am with my friends and you know, getting their perspective on things. And because in my earlier days when I was younger with my personality type, I could be kind of brash and still can be. And so I'm really aware of that about my personality. And I want to do the right thing, I guess, and just honor the Lord and how I'm and talking about Him and what He's done in my life, and I don't want to make things a debate, and the kind of people that I'm around and that I'm friends with, they're not that way anyway. So I haven't had a ton of experience as an adult being put in that situation. I actually did when I was in high school, and I didn't handle it probably very well. There was a lot of liberals in the high school that I went to. I went to a magnet school, and super smart kids, and just lots of different, just very much diverse. But I know that I didn't handle some things right. But it's funny how even knowing that a specific person that I can think of, she still comments on Facebook stuff just with such kindness towards me. So I guess I did something right because she is very much a liberal. And she hasn't, you know, she hasn't dropped me as a friend, if that makes sense, or defriended me. She just keeps, you know, kind of chiming in on Pete's stuff and my stuff, and that's been encouraging. But anyway, I say all that to say I completely agree with him that we do have to be wise under the circumstance of whatever, you know, the timing is with that specific person.
Now, I don't know if I told you two this story the last time you were on, but I know that I've told this story a couple of times at least on the show, so those of you who have heard this story, please forgive me. I don't want any eye rolling. Here we go again with the story. But I had a friend who is now in eternity with Christ named Bill Hofacker, and he was a deacon at the church where I was saved, and Bill had an interesting way about him. And one day, my late wife, Julie, asked me if I could get some assistance from men in the church to help a friend of hers move out of her apartment and move the furniture and so on. And there were probably five or six guys, and Bill Hofacker was one of them. And when they entered into this woman's apartment, Bill's very first words from this complete and total stranger were, "Hi, my name is Bill. Do you know where you would spend eternity if you died tonight?" And this woman freaked out. She pulled me aside and said, "Did you bring a serial killer into my house? What on earth? This guy's creeping me out." And she was terrified. Well, years later, I'm in a restaurant with my wife, and I hear a familiar voice behind me. And I turn around, and it's this woman who is having dinner with her new husband, a Christian husband. And I said to her, "Wow, I haven't seen you in years. You know, tell me about your life." You know, and she said, "Well, I'm a Christian now, and my husband is a Christian." And I said, "Really? Well, praise God. How did that happen?" And she said, "Remember that guy that you had come help move furniture? That question that he asked me haunted me for a couple of years. I couldn't sleep at night thinking about that." And the Lord even used that to lead her to Christ. Now, I'm not, just because the Lord used that to save this woman, I don't necessarily recommend that's the first words to come out of your mouth when you're meeting somebody, especially when you know, you're going to have a few hours perhaps to talk and get to know her. But even though that might have been tactically inappropriate, at least Bill had the courage of his convictions to tell the truth rather than let introvertedness, because I have a feeling just because of the way he spoke and his posturing that this was a lot for Bill to do. I think because he was introverted. So I think it was commendable that, unlike many people who would never say a single word At the risk of offending someone or having them think that that you're weird, he at least cared more about the person's eternal soul and about God and his word than he did about his own personal feelings or their feelings.
Well, I was going to say real quick about that is, you know, I do believe that there are times and that when the Lord just, man, just puts a fire in you to say something. And, I mean, I've seen that happen with Pete before where he's been in front of somebody and it's just, you know, it was different than sometimes the way he does it at other times. So, you know, I'm definitely not against it. I mean, obviously, look what it did. Look how the Lord used it. I mean, obviously, I don't think it's common, but I think that there's definitely probably times where he just puts something in us just to say something because it's just, it's the time for it, even though it may not feel like it to everybody else. Anyway, that's my thought.
Well, we have to go to our midway station break right now. It's our longer than normal station break because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida requires of us a longer break in the middle of our show because they air their own public service announcements and commercials while we air our own commercials that are heard globally. They have to localize Iron Sharpens Iron to Lake City, Florida as an FCC requirement. So that's why they require this break. They need to do their own thing, as it were, during this break. So please use this time wisely. Not only write down questions for Pete and Kelly Orta to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, but also please write down the information provided by our advertisers because we depend upon our advertisers to exist. And the more you patronize our advertisers, the more you contact them and make use of whatever services or products they offer, the more likely they're going to remain our advertisers, which means the more likely we are going to remain on the air. So please write down all of the information that you can during the station break that our advertisers provide. And even if you don't think that you're going to use or be able to patronize our advertisers at that moment, you might want to store that somewhere in a file where you may use it in the future. Like, for instance, some of the churches that you're hearing advertise. You may not live anywhere near there, but one day you might be vacationing near one of these churches, or you may have a friend that a friendship develop that involves somebody that lives in that area, or you may have a family member that moves to that area, or you may move to that area in the future. So you never know when you can patronize one of our advertisers, one or more. So please keep that in mind. And we look forward to hearing from you and your questions for Pete and Kelly Orta on apologetics in your own home at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast. Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hey, this is Pete Orta, former guitar player for the Grammy Award-winning Christian rock band, Petra. I'd like to invite you to my new podcast called Christian Conversations Unfiltered. This channel is much different than my sermon podcast. The episodes are intimate conversations with people who I enjoy about topics that I can't really unbox from the pulpit. Each episode is unproduced, unedited, and unapologetic. Conversations that might not only help you answer some relevant questions you might be struggling with, but also help create some questions in your head that you might not have even ever thought of. The purpose of this podcast is to help people apply their theology while broadening their biblical worldview. So go to PeteOrta.com, that's PeteOrta.com, and click subscribe to podcasts, and then choose what podcast you'd like to hear, if not both, and what platform works best for you. Can't wait for you to join us. God bless.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Hi. I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, you can call cvbbs.com at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday, between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. They still have a phenomenal offer where if you purchase any amount of books or other Christian products, you will get absolutely free the book True Love, Understanding the Real Meaning of Christian Love by Dr. James M. Renahan, a sponsor of this program. He is the president of IRBS Theological Seminary, a Reformed Baptist seminary in Mansfield, Texas. And you will get this book free of charge, this beautiful little hardback, True Love, Understanding the Real Meaning of Love, of Christian Love, absolutely free. And if you purchase a minimum of $50 worth of merchandise, you will also get a larger book for free, a beautiful hardback as well, but much larger. My favorite biography of all time. It's called A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cohn. It's so fascinating, it should be a major motion picture. At least I hope that someday it is a documentary, that a documentary is made about this man, Spencer Cohn, especially since he was such an extraordinary Christian man who had a great impact on New York City and beyond in his day. But today, he's almost completely unknown, which amazes me. You can learn more about this phenomenal man who was at one time a school teacher, then a lawyer, then a stage actor in the 19th century, then a war hero in the War of 1812, and then a pastor in New York City. Absolutely extraordinary life, and it's yours for free if you purchase $50 minimum at cvbbs.com. For that book, the larger book, you need to put that book in the cart, and then you need to add $50 worth of merchandise in the cart. And then you need to enter the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron, all one word, all capital letters, and then the price of A Pastor in New York will be deducted from your total. Keep in mind that the other book, True Love, is free for any amount you purchase. You just need to put in the comments section of the website at cvbbs.com that you want the True Love book for free. If this is all too complicated for you and you want to call them and just verbally tell them these things, the number is 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And remember, they man that phone line Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We have just a couple of events that we want you to be aware of before we return to our interview. In December, I am heading back to my old stomping grounds in Manhattan for the Foundations Conference. This is a phenomenal conference that I urge every one of you to attend, if at all possible. This is going to be held Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in Manhattan. And the speakers are always extraordinary, and that this time is no exception this December. We have Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, whose voice you've been hearing every day, promoting New Covenant Church NYC. One of our sponsors. He is founder of One Passion Ministries and one of the most powerful preachers on the planet Earth. Paul Washer is also in that category of one of the most powerful preachers alive today. Jeff Thomas is another man of God that I just recently interviewed again that is extraordinary. Reverend Armin Tomasian, a young man who I truly believe, without exaggeration or flattery, I believe he's going to be a household name over the next decade in reform circles because he is just that powerful and that gifted at preaching. His gifts are far beyond his youth. Richard Colwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley, I have not yet heard preach, but Sermon Audio selected them, so I'm sure they are extraordinary as well. So if you want to join me in December 19th and 20th, that's a Thursday and Friday, right during the Christmas season, which is the best time of year to visit Manhattan, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, and you'll have all the information that you need. Then in January, I am going to be packing up my bags again and heading down to Atlanta, Georgia, more specifically College Park, Georgia, to the Georgia International Convention Center. That is where the G3 conference is being held, and I will be manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio there. G3, for your information, stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And the theme this January 2020 is Worship Matters, something that we were even talking about earlier in today's program with Pete Orta. The roster of people speaking at this is extraordinary, as it always is. The first speaker is Costi Hinn. He is, believe it or not, the nephew of the world-renowned, notorious charlatan and heretic Benny Hinn. And Costi is not offended by me saying that because he has made it a part of his life's mission to expose people like his uncle and those in the Word of Faith movement for the frauds and charlatans and heretics that they are, and also with hopes to lead them to Christ, because I have a very good friend, John Sampson, who was once a Word of Faith preacher, teacher, and talk show host, who is now a Reformed Baptist and a cessationist on top of that. And in fact, Costi Hinn is also a Reformed Baptist and a cessationist, and he's pastoring in California. And I strongly recommend that you hear him whenever you get a chance to hear him speak. David Miller is also on the roster, a phenomenal preacher. Derek Thomas, a man known to the vast majority of people in the English-speaking world of the Reformed faith. My friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, since 1995. Joel Beakey, who I've known about as long, another phenomenal brother. Josh Bice, the founder of the G3 Conference. Once again, Stephen J. Lawson and Paul Washer, they are on this roster as well. My friend Dr. Tom Askell, the president, or the executive director, I should say, of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention. And Vody Balcom, who is an extraordinary man in our day and age, one of the finest preachers alive. If you want to register, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. I strongly urge you to register for an exhibitor's booth if you have a business or a parachurch ministry that you want to promote, because every year they have over 5,000 people attend this conference. This January, the conference is Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th. So mark that down on your calendar, and I would register as soon as possible, especially if you are registering for an exhibitor's booth. Do it quickly before you lose the opportunity, because they do run out of room eventually. That's g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want us to disappear, you don't want us to go off the airwaves, you love the guests and the topics that we feature on this program daily, sometimes that are never heard anywhere else, well, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We are in urgent need of your donations. We thank all of you from the bottom of our hearts who have responded to my SOS, or SOSs, I should say, because there have been many of them, a call to help, because we are in such an urgent need. And thankfully, due to the kindness and generosity of those of you who love this show and have put your money where your mouth is, you have donated to us to help us get through the month of June, and we thank God for you in ways and where I can't even express how deeply I am grateful to God for you and to you for your benevolence and your kindness and compassion and your encouragement that you love this show so much that you take a part of your hard-earned money to help us keep in existence. July is a different story. We are facing some very scary times in July, so please help us. Go to ironsharpenzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could also advertise with us and send in a check the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpenzionradio.com. Never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of God. Supporting my show is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money for benevolent purposes, please, if you love the show, use some of those extra funds to help us remain on the air, if indeed that is your wish. So please go to ironsharpenzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, or send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what we believe, we would surely love to help you launch an ad campaign because we really do desperately need your advertising dollars. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, and you need help finding one, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put something like, I need a church, in the subject line. Remember, you're living in rebellion against God if you're not even prayerfully looking for a church. So please rectify that situation as quickly as possible. I have helped a number of people in our audience find churches near them all over the world, even when they're going on vacation and need a church to visit. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. and put I need a church home or something similar. We are now back with our guest, Pete and Kelly Orta, and that is the same address, email address, where you would send them a question. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please at least give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Pete and Kelly, I'd like you to begin, and either one of you may start, with some basic building blocks for apologetics in your own home, how one goes about knowing what to start in the realm of apologetics. And of course, just like many other things in life, it may differ greatly, vary widely from family to family, because you may have families that are far more biblically literate and astute and accomplished, and you might start in a different place than a person or family that has, they're all, you know, very new Christians, perhaps. So give us some ideas, and either one of you may start.
You go ahead, babe.
Pete, are you there?
Pete, are you there?
I think Pete is gone.
Okay, sorry. I had it muted. I will say this. I'll start off by saying this, that we don't live in a day and age that we can allow very much time to go past before we talk about our kids about certain topics. Let's say, like, talking to them about sex. You know, when I was a kid, before you would run into it in the world, there was a certain age, probably junior high, things like this, that, you know, the world could get to you before your parents did. Now the world can touch your kids quicker at a younger age than you could when you were young, when during my time. There's internet, there's all kinds of things that, I mean, we all have to become super protective. We all have become super protective, Christian or not, on what's coming into our home through these devices. So these conversations are having to start quicker. I have four kids, and I've had to talk to them about sexual things and stuff like this at a younger age as time goes on, because it's just so accessible. So in that, when it comes to a Christian belief, I think that a lot of times we think that maybe they should be a little older so they can comprehend what we're talking about, and we just kind of give them milk, you know, in a Sunday school class or, you know, children's daycare type of, maybe a Christian daycare or something like this, and they're learning, you know, David and Goliath, and they're learning Jonah and the well and stuff like this. but they are being informed at a younger age and at a comprehension level that I think is higher than what we might think. So, saying that, we try to reach our kids super fast before the world does. And one of the things that I will do with my kids is I will play around with them and go ahead and prepare them for the fight that's out there. The fight that is out there is to question the origin of their belief. So, for instance, a few months ago, I was practicing with my kids again. We do jujitsu, so we have this thing called a live roll where you're learning class, and then at the end of the class, you have to pick a partner and actually fight with them. And so it helps you because you don't want the shock of a real fight or be punched or choked out in a real fight for the very first time. This is when you're experiencing it. It keeps you calm if you're used to doing this every week. If I'm ever attacked, it won't feel any different than the live role session. So I'm taking this philosophy with my kids on apologetics, and I don't want the first time that they hear something that's going to rock their faith to come from a stranger and then not have anything to fall back on. So I do it myself. So I was telling them goodnight one night, and I said, you know what, guys? I said, you're just a Christian because we are. Your parents are Christians because, I mean, you're a Christian because your parents are Christians. If we would have been raised raised you in China, you would have been a Buddhist or India, a Hindu, or if it would have been any other, we would have been atheist. You would have been atheist. You would have agreed just as strongly with whatever belief that we brought to you. If we were Mormon, if we were Muslim, you would agree with it because you are brainwashed. And one day, and these are my kids, they're very young. They're, 11 and 12. I said, in one day, you're going to grow up and realize you've got your own life, your own brain, your own way that you want to think, and you're going to realize that you were just following along what we did. So you're not really Christians. And they knew that I was live rolling with them. They knew that I was playing this apologetic game that we play. They didn't know how to answer it, and they were like, they were just rocked. Great, they're rocked in front of their coach. This is fine. This is what sparring does. And I said, this is how you answer it. We're all brainwashed. Where's the origin of your thought? Where do your ideas come from? You didn't create your own ideas. The only people that think they create their own ideas are Stalin or Hitler or Charles Manson thinks he creates his own ideas. So we all have been indoctrinated by a group think. We've all gained our ideas from other people. And if you're an atheist, you have to become an atheist. So I'm talking to them in this way. And then say, embrace that you were brainwashed, reverse that word and say that you're indoctrinated, then tell everyone that you're indoctrinated as well, and let's start from there. So just nice little things and conversations that we're practicing at home. We're doing some instructional stuff that my wife will here tell you how she builds on those blocks with how she homeschools them and the type of how she is proselytizing them. And raising them in the way of the gospel. But at the same time that we have live role sessions so that when these thoughts hit their mind, it's not the first time.
Kelly?
Yeah. As far as, him and I are extremely different in the way that we approach things. I typically kind of allow him to handle more of the sparring and, like you said, the live rolling. And when I'm with them and we're going through things, and I a lot of times will use resources. So whether it's, again, doing a Bible study, or whether it's reading about reformers in history, or whether it's using, there's a lot of times we do videos. Right Now Media actually does have some good videos for that talk about evolution and science. And right now we're going through, I just went blank. I'll remember it in a minute. Anyway, so we're watching some videos, and we're going to be reading Pilgrim's Progress. There it is. It left my brain. So we're watching a video kind of to prepare and give them a little bit of an understanding about what Pilgrim's Progress is, and then we're going to go through the book together. So that's kind of more my approach, whereas Pete is just more of an intuitive and has the questions to ask and can get them to really think. And so that's kind of how we hit it twofold between the two of us.
So, when you were speaking, I don't know if I mentioned this the first time that you two were on together speaking on this subject, but when you were speaking, I was ushered back to a memory of the classical Christian school that was housed in the former church where I was a member on Long Island before moving to Pennsylvania, Grace Christian Academy. Classical Christian schools are Christian schools that include in the curriculum things from the secular culture that are believed are important for Christians to be aware of. Christian young people should know something about the lies of Darwinian evolution, for instance, so that they can biblically and successfully and intelligibly respond to things like that when they are confronted with them in the world. And as you were saying, Pete, it would be wrong for children to be let loose in the world unprepared to be hearing things for the very first time that they've never heard and be left dumbstruck. Am I right?
Right.
Yes. Because think about it, other religions that we would, I'll take the heat on this, that we would say is a cult or apostate, for instance, like Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or groups like this, they're not allowed to question their religion, to question their teachers, and they are not allowed to debate out in the world. And so they get rocked, and they get left to look like idiots. And this type of thinking world, this information world, and they're behind, which I don't mind, but Christians seem to be falling into that same group as well, where we don't know why we believe something.
Right, and I want to make it clear that the Christian school to which I am referring did not teach Darwinian evolution as an acceptable alternative way of thought. They're just educating children on the lies that they will be confronted with in the secular culture. And Paul the Apostle even referred to secular and even the writings of the false religions within Greece and so on, not because he was presenting them as necessarily true or not. I mean, there are some things that are universally true. But obviously he was a student of the culture to which he was speaking, and I think that that is an important element of Christian apologetics, is that we don't act as if we could care less, or should I say we couldn't care less, about what other people's believe and are passionate about. If we love people, we should grow to learn what they believe, where they're coming from, etc. Not that that's of the most primary importance. The most primary importance, I'm sure you agree, is to know the Word of God. But I think it is important to know what others believe as much as possible, as long as it doesn't eclipse your study of the Scripture. Am I right on that?
Right.
Okay. Yes, and I respect people with different thought as well, and really appreciate them because, Muhammad Ali wouldn't be Muhammad Ali if it wasn't for George Foreman or Joe Frazier. I mean, you've got to respect your opponent. And I'll tell you this, I think the growing number of atheists have forced Christians to know their stuff.
We have a listener in Asheboro, North Carolina, Grady, who says, "Great show, Brother Chris, Brother Pete, and Sister Kelly. First, I want to thank you for your openness on the last show. That's greatly appreciated, so we know how to pray for you. My question is, in this day with so many single moms, How do we get them interested in apologetics so that they can have these conversations with their children? And I assume he's emphasizing single moms because there's no man there to lead the house spiritually. I think he meant this primarily for Kelly. And while Kelly's thinking, I'm going to give our email address. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Any thoughts, Kelly, on specifically reaching single moms with the need or the benefit of Christian apologetics?
You know, I grew up, you know, if he did hear the last interview, I grew up in a single-parent home. And, you know, for my mom, she, you know, we grown up in a charismatic church and not really... not really understanding a lot, and her not really understanding a lot. And, of course, she went through a lot when my dad left, and she was having to work all the time. And so, you know, I think the first key is that they are in a sound biblical church, because there's so much that can be gained from that, obviously, not only the fellowship with fellow believers, but what's coming off of the pulpit and the kids being able to hear that. And if a pastor is really doing what he's called to do, there is apologetics threaded out through all of his sermons in some way, and children are hearing that every week. And then, of course, if the children's ministers or the youth pastor or you know, whoever is in charge of them is also being an influence in that way, I think in a situation with a single parent, it is about a village, it taking a village to raise, you know, kids, because that's needed, especially if the mom's working. And as far as, like, getting her to be in a position to where she's desiring to learn that, to me, again, I think it's really so much of that is about the church and about being involved in that church and wanting that discipleship to where she can turn around and disciple her children. That's the first key. What do you think, Pete?
Yes, the first key is having a good solid community, Christian community to plug into, and for her to be surrounded by church members and have, you know, kind of a for your kids to have a relationship with their pastor is pretty important. Yeah. I would, to take the pressure off the moms, because they're doing so much, single moms are doing, just overwhelmed. It's a season of survival for them that I think that, you know, of course, the really quick thinkers of today, the guys that are, you know, they prep for their interviews, they prep for their debates. They've got kind of something in their wheelhouse that they have become experts in. If you take them out of that, they're normal and human just like us. They become Clark Kent. But, you know, if you catch me in my wheelhouse, I might be overwhelming. If you catch somebody else in their wheelhouse, they're overwhelming. And a lot of times we can find somebody in their wheelhouse and go, be very intimidated and go, I could never do that. And I think that in this time, we kind of have these kind of little Christian celebrities based on how well they can debate. And it's good. I think we need that. We need them out there, and there's a place for it. But I think that we're kind of lifting them higher than anyone else. Anybody that's made a name for themselves as a great debater, we do admire, and we kind of put a little kind of put them above even ourselves. And we get to a point like a single mom that would believe that she can't teach her kids apologetics. I'm going to tell you what, the blind man that was born blind, that Jesus healed his sight and also was saved, was probably one of the greatest apologists that you will ever hear about, other than, you know, Christ himself or Paul. And he was healed and didn't know a whole lot, but what he knew in Scripture, he stumped the world. And single moms just need to know their Bible, preach to their children every day, and even if you're not the greatest debater, you don't have kind of an intellectual or a critical mind to be able to create these moments like I do with my children. Every kid will grow up and go and remember how faithful their mama was to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that is the greatest defense to the secular worldview.
And I want to chime in on that. Can y'all hear me okay? I had to change my...
You actually sound crystal clear.
Okay, good. So I want to chime in on that because when it comes to my mother, I will say that is what I remember from her. Even though the theology may not have been on point, she loved the Lord. She knew that he died on the cross and resurrected in obedience to the Lord for her, for her sin. And her love for me and her wanting to make sure that I was consistently in church and that was there, that is what drew me. That's what the Lord used. And I'll agree with what Pete was saying, too, that, you know, somebody like me, I'm different in the sense of I am, like I said earlier, I'm not a debater. I'm as far as a critical thinker, I know I'm a thinker, but I didn't grow up in a home where that was developed in me. I spent a lot of time alone because my mom worked so much, so I was very undeveloped in my communication, and it's been later in my life that the Lord has really, helped me with that. And so with my children, I feel like my role has been more of their Christ-like character, really working on their character, really working on their understanding of their sin and what it means and how it hurts the Lord and how it, how it affects us and how that our salvation is not by our works. That's kind of my area with them is just really, because I didn't understand my sin growing up. I really didn't. I knew that I screwed up. I knew that I did stuff that made me upset with myself, but for some reason I did not relate that to sin, and that being my nature. And so I really want to help them understand that so that when they leave the house, they truly get that their salvation is only by grace through faith, and that is even a gift, to them. And if I can do that for them and prepare them in that way, and he's preparing them, with the apologetics and stuff, I just feel like then, okay, I've done my job as a mom, and like he said, I really do believe that they'll remember those things with me. And I want the single moms out there to remember that as well, that they may not feel like, that they've got it all together, and they have the understanding that a lot of these other, even like women authors and speakers, you don't have to just help your kids have Christ-like character and help them to understand what true salvation is, and the Lord will do, take it from there, for sure.
Amen. And to slow down the massive amounts of hate mail you may be getting after quoting Hillary Clinton on It Takes a Village, I'm assuming that you meant that it takes a village in regard to brothers and sisters in Christ being involved,
yes,
with your family's life, not the federal government or anything like that.
Oh, no, yeah. I wasn't even thinking that.
Yeah, she's the one that stole that quote. She didn't originate that thought, so don't associate her with us. You gotta dig a little deeper.
For sure. No, definitely just being a part of a church, and I know in some places it's really hard to find a good sound church, but keep digging and keep looking, and even if you have to drive, and I know if you're tired, but even if you have to drive 30, 45 minutes, an hour to get there, it is so worth it to be able to be around people with like-minded, hearts and minds, and just being able to do life together and have the advice and the wisdom of other people that can give you different perspective and again, help you raise your children. I think that's even good even for couples, not just single parents.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our final break right now, and if you intend to send in a question, do so quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Every-
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W. R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and we just have a few minutes left with our guests, Pete and Kelly Orta, on Apologetics in Your Own Home. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We have a listener, CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, he asks, "I know that there are Calvinists who are more concerned about converting Christians to Calvinism than they are reaching the lost. But at the same time, I think that far too many people who profess to be Calvinistic or Reformed are embarrassed or ashamed or think that these things that we uniquely believe as a people should be kept private or should not be focused on as much in regard to public evangelism, and I do not agree with that at all. I believe that even Jesus Christ spoke about things that reflect upon God's sovereignty over all, even salvation. even though he knew it would turn people away and that disciples of his left him and never followed him again. What is your response?
Well, Calvinism back in Jesus' time was called Christianity.
The Word of God.
The Word of God. And he, struck so much anger in the heart of people was him defining doctrine. And that there is what created, you know, all of the, you know, the persecution that we read about that he endured. So, man, I would as far as people converting, being more attentive to converting people to the doctrines of grace versus you know, preaching the gospel, I don't know the difference. You preach the gospel, and the doctrines of grace are the foundation of the gospel you're preaching. You could convert, I mean, a person that's claiming to be a Christian could actually be converted by the distinctions. And me being an example, you just grow up in an environment where, well, if you believe that Jesus Christ was a true figure in world history, and you believe in that, then you're saved. You know, you'll miss people like me by not getting into a lot of the particulars, not talking about what true biblical salvation looks like, what discipleship looks like to be a follower of Jesus. So, you know, I think that when we look at other people and we see that, you know, they just seem very zealous about Calvinism, what you've got to understand is a lot of like my kids that grew up in a Calvinistic home, they're not out out like I am, you know, in conversation as much. You know, I met a lot of people that grew up Presbyterians and grew up in a Reformed, and they're just a lot more relaxed. They're like first generation or whatever. I mean, second, third generation Reformed believers, but it is people that have been converted like I have, or my wife, or other people that I see are out there. It really looks like we are just getting behind Calvinism instead of Christianity, and it's not that. It's the fact that we have been sold a lie. It has been watered down. We were heading to hell because of false beliefs of who Jesus is, and you need doctrines to clear all this up.
Amen.
So we can see who Christ is. So when you see people on a rampage out there going, Calvinism, 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 it might look like that through that lens, but through the other lens, from my point of view, is like, I want to tell people the real gospel because I've believed in this false thing for so long.
Amen. Yeah, and a lot of it, I think, has to do with providence, who you happen to be in the company of at a particular time. Whether it's a Christian who needs to be corrected theologically or a lost person who needs to be saved. And, of course, if all you're doing is trying to convince Christians of a theological difference, then you're unbalanced. But both are important. But anyway, we are out of time, unfortunately, and I know already I want to have you two back. But do you have any contact information or any way you'd like to conclude this program today?
Well, I would say, you know, my website, PeteOrta.com, and, you know, if anybody wants to contact my wife as well, she's on, I think, Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. Her name is K-E-L-L-I, Kelly Orta. Social media, we kind of stay plugged in here and there. We're not on it all day, but, you know, we do check in, so that's a way. And I would really stress that the best thing you can do for your child is preach the gospel to them daily. Find some, just one little small thing that gives them a clearer view of who Jesus is. It might be in a correction of their, of something that they've done. It might be planting a thought out there that you know they're going to come across someday. But just preach Christ to your children every day. That's so simple to do.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you both, Pete and Kelly Orta, for being on the program, and please remain on the line so I can give you a proper goodbye off the air. And I want to thank everybody who listened today, all of you who took the time to write in, Mary in Cork, Ireland, and Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, and CJ in Lindenhurst, and others who may have written in. I want you all always to remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.